It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour.
Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a K-car.
A nice, reliant automobile.
And if I had $1 million, I'd buy you.
All right, welcome into Speak Out. It is Thursday, September 25th, 2025. We're broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. That's right here, right where I'm sitting, in a room by myself and a guest who is on the line from the Goldwater Institute. So stand by, Chris, just a moment. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Brian Springberg will not be in today because we are celebrating Education Week here on Speak Out. All of our guests for the past 2 days and today are education related. And this one's kind of interesting. I didn't want to keep it all Pollyanna-ish, so I invited Chris Thomas on. He is the Director of Legal Strategy for Education for the Goldwater Institute, and got to talk to Chris a little bit off the air. And Chris, welcome to Speak Out.
Thank you, Paul. I'm happy to be here.
It was funny when you said, looks like you've been concentrating on education a lot this week, looking at your archives. I thought, yeah, it's Education Week. I don't know if you got to hear any of that, but today we're going to be talking about the Goldwater Institute exposing the hidden ways that Arizona superintendents cash in on duplicate retirement packages. And I don't think we're talking about double dipping here, are we?
Well, no, it's not double dipping in the sense that they're not receiving their retirement at the same time they're receiving a salary, although that does happen in some places. But what we were really looking at is, you know, when you hear a superintendent making a certain amount of salary, you think that that's what they're being paid, but in reality, their contract could be 5-6 pages, and it has all different kinds of compensation that really obscure the total amount that they're being paid. You could start at a salary of $170,000, but when you add all the perks and everything, you're talking about a salary of $230,000 or more. So you have to look at the contract to see what the true amount of compensation is.
Give me an example of those perks that you're talking about.
Sure. So, just a couple of things. One is a car allowance. So many superintendents, they may have to cover a lot of schools in the districts. I know in your area, that Lake Havasu's got 9 schools, Kingman's got 14 schools. I mean, there are a lot of schools, so you have to drive a lot.
I need to stop you for a second. Because each of those locations, Bullhead City, Kingman, and Havasu, are all separate districts. So
separate districts.
Yes.
They have separate superintendents.
Right. So you're talking about places, Maricopa County, for example, right?
Sure. Maricopa County. But almost all superintendents, as part of their contract, receive some sort of allowance for their car expenses.
Okay.
Normally you would think, okay, well, that makes sense. You have to drive a lot. But we found that we saw a superintendent car allowance stipends up to $1,250 per month.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't know about your car payment, but mine's not that, and I would, you know,
no.
That's enough to buy a Corvette every 3 years, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Also, what kind of performance bonuses are we talking about in a state where we rank pretty much last in education in the United States?
Right. Performance bonuses, the high was over $70,000 a year for one of the school districts that were a performance bonus. And what's interesting is that, you know, you would think that would be about student achievement, but it doesn't necessarily have to be about that. Performance is whatever the school board and the superintendent agree it's going to be. So the school board evaluates the superintendent, and then they decide whether or not performance has been met, and they get that money upon a vote of the board.
Okay, that makes sense. What about vacation? I would imagine that, you know, the old three-month vacation in the summertime, that's not what we're talking about here, a vacation bonus.
Right, so most superintendents have both personal leave and vacation days stipulated in their contract. And we saw in one particular school district that there were a total combined of 54 days between personal days and vacation days that they were given in their contract. And by the way, this was in addition to the 5 weeks off that they get during the school year. And we all know that those days, you know, you got fall break, you got winter break, you got spring break, and you've got a bunch of holidays in between. And so you're talking about somebody actually accumulating, if they took all of those days, being off more than 80 days.
Whoa.
But yeah, it's pretty shocking. But in reality, they don't take 80 days off. They couldn't do the job if they took 80 days off, right? So also in these contracts is that the superintendents get paid out on a daily rate for any days that they don't use. So it adds even more to what their overall salary is. Again, it's not apparent in their stated salary. But if you read the contract, you'll find that out.
Again, we're talking to Chris Thomas from the Goldwater Institute. He's the Director of Legal Strategy for Education. Is there a legal strategy here then against certain districts? Is there a plan of action, or is this something just to expose those districts here at the same time that we're talking about Arizona ranking near the bottom of the list when it comes to student performance?
Well, you know, it's done for the purposes of transparency to the taxpayers, mm-hmm. To let everybody know how this system works. They, at their local level, can demand change. We've recommended that a superintendent's contract be published and be put online. There's one school district that we looked at that does that now, the Flagstaff Unified School District. They were the only one of the 41 school districts that we looked at that do that. And also, if somebody asks for a copy of the contract, including the people that are on the school board, they ought to get it. There shouldn't be any resistance to disclosing that. And we actually found that there were 10 of the school districts we looked at under our grading system received an F because of delay or charging excessive charges for copies and things like that. That they just didn't want to be transparent. So. Forcing transparency is our goal so that people can make decisions about whether or not this is a fair amount of compensation for somebody who does an important job.
Where does Goldwater, I don't know if you have a suggestion for this, but any money saved on a superintendent's salary, where does Goldwater suggest that district direct those funds?
Well, we always think that the money that's directed to the classroom is always going to have the greatest impact.
Okay.
So, you know, those are teacher salaries and benefits. Those are school programs, curriculum, tutoring services, intervention strategies. All those kind of things have the most impact. I think even most superintendents would agree about that. But I think sometimes it's a keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing. You know, the superintendent next door makes this much, so we've got to pay our person this much, but every dollar that's spent on administration is a dollar that could be spent in the classroom, which is why it needs to be scrutinized very highly. Because if you can direct those dollars to the classroom, that's where they're going to have the most impact.
Well, you just used the key word for me, which is administration. It's not only about the superintendent; it's about that super that administration behind them, that support them, that are paid, you know, those salaries that are called the ladders, right, where you're up in the upper executive echelon of salaries. The superintendents might make, you know, 150, but their people under them make quite a bit too.
That's right. So you're looking at people that are at the director level,
yeah,
for different departments, and you know, all of them, you know, command, you know, high salaries. But you know, again, we're not against anybody making a salary that's well qualified,
right,
doing a good job. We just want that there to be transparency about it. Right now, too often there's not.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And, you know, we were talking before the show off the air about a pet peeve of mine, and it might be addressed here in a future legislative session if one person gets in that I know of anyway. And it's the question of where did the county superintendent system come from? 15 county superintendents. I know they're not making small dollars here, right? And that's money that could be directed towards education. I mean, if they're making $100,000 a year each, that's $1.5 million. You know, that's another million and, right? Another million and a half dollars that we'd find. And that's not even including those benefits like, you know, health and the perks that you were talking about.
Right. Now the county superintendents are a little different than the school district superintendents. That they, you know, their pay is determined at the county level,
okay,
by the board of supervisors and things like that. But you're right that the county superintendent system in our state is somewhat antiquated. Definitely something that was left over from when we were territorial days, when the county superintendent actually administered and delivered education more directly. Now they're sort of a middle manager at best. You know, they appoint school board members. They, you know, they help handle some of the finances, but they don't do as much as their title would seem to suggest.
Interesting. How much? What level of experience do you have with school districts and in this field of law for you, Chris Thomas?
I've been a practicing lawyer for over 30 years. This is my 30th year in law, but I've been a education attorney for 25 of those years. I worked for the Arizona School Boards Association as their in-house counsel for 22 years. So, and then after that, I served representing school districts, including some of the school districts in your county. I'm very familiar with schools and how they operate, work with a lot of administrators, a lot of school board members. Many of them, you know, almost all of them are really good people with good intentions. So I don't come at this in sort of a hostile way.
Right.
But what from seeing the system and seeing how it could be improved, that's what I'm trying to do here at Coldwater.
So the report that you're talking about, that you write about, is based on superintendent contracts that are collected over 4 months from 41 of Arizona's largest school districts. Can you name a couple of those districts that are the most blatant in hiding their transparency?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. The one that just jumps out is the Tolleson Union High School District, which is actually in the West Valley. They're the 16th largest school district in the state, and their superintendent, Jeremy Caius, has a base salary of $361,584 a year. He also receives a performance pay package of over $72,000. He receives a car allowance of over $900 a month, and then receives over 50 days of personal and vacation days, all of which he can cash out. This total amount of different types of compensation adds up to an annual compensation of $491,360.
That's a great gig if you can get it. I'm just saying.
That's what most people tell me. Yeah, sure.
Wow. Give me another couple of examples before I let you go.
Sure. I mean, the Phoenix Union School District, which obviously, you know, big school district in the state, but, mm-hmm, you know, their superintendent makes $250,000. Okay, you would think that would be a high salary. But in addition to that, they receive that person receives $45,000 in deferred compensation benefits in a 401k type retirement system. So,
sure.
in addition to receiving a state pension, they get this additional retirement account that they can draw upon when they retire. You know, a lot of people probably listening get 401ks. They put in a portion. Maybe their, you know, employer kicks in 1 or 2% a year, and hopefully by the end, it amounts to something that you could retire on or augment your Social Security. This is something different. In addition to a state pension that you might receive, and let's say the person makes $225,000 a year, and they work for 30 years in the system, they're going to get a pension of $160,000 a year for life.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Most people would kill for that.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all. And in addition to that, though, those that have these deferred compensation systems, they also get the benefits of a 401k on top of that. So that's why I highlight Phoenix Union and every other school district that we looked at. There's some level of compensation going into these kind of double dipping sort of, if you want to call it double dipping, we're talking double dipping into having two retirement systems, one of which is a Cadillac, and the other one is almost a Corvette.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Chris Thomas, thanks for joining us on Speak Out today. Again, he's the Director of Legal Strategy for Education for the Goldwater Institute. Do you want to give out a number where people can contact you or perhaps an email if they want to discuss this further with you?
Sure. Happy to they want to email me. It is C. Thomas, C-T-H-O-M-A-S, @goldwaterinstitute.org. And please go to our website, see the other work that we're doing, and how in the education space, I think you'll like what you see.
All right, perfect. Chris, thanks for joining us on Speak Out today. It was a great addition to Education Week. I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Paul.
You bet. All right, again, Chris with the Goldwater Institute, and we will definitely be talking to him down the road. This is a very interesting report. Brian Zimmetel is on deck. And Brian is, let's see, I had it right here. There's a new name for the club that is at the high school for Turning Point USA. And I had it right here. And it's called Club America. And Brian is due in, and we're going to go to break, and then somebody's going to call in from Turning Point USA as well. And then later on in the show, we'll have Coach Carl Thompson. We'll talk about tomorrow night's game at COFA. And Fighting Knights looked pretty dang good last week. A weaker opponent, I'll admit, but 63-7, that's something you can hang your hat on, is 9 touchdowns, right? And Jim Chaney and myself will be at that game tomorrow night. Start time, we'll have the pregame at 6:45, the kickoff at 7, and that is from COFA, COFA High School in Yuma. All right, back with more in a moment. I believe Marissa June is going to give away some tickets to Marlon Wayans. We still have those. I believe, have tickets to the ASU game tomorrow night against TCU, Texas Christian, and that is in Tempe. All right, back with more in a moment. Call 928-855-9336, and Marissa June will take care of you. All right? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Sense is a little whack, and my friends are just as creepy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools, creepy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody, got nothing in my pocket.
I can't believe I didn't play that song sooner, Brian. It's a good song.
It is.
By Weezer, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
reminds me of college.
I can't believe we're in the same room together because you're a Dodger fan.
Oh, yeah.
And after that game last night and the night before, I don't know if I have any energy left for today's game, which is at noon, is the pregame over on our sports station. 12:40 is the first pitch from Chase Field.
I'm just hoping to get in healthy, get into the postseason, and get in hot. You don't want to go in.
Yeah, well, you better talk to your pitching staff about that. That's a rough ride
that's
there.
Basically the way it's been the last 5 years.
Clayton Kershaw pitching, what, the 11th inning? Holy cow.
We just throw them all together. Well, last year we won a World Series by just not even having a starting pitcher. We just did a reliever game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they put those together once in a while.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
It's Brian Zimitel, folks. He is it's called Club USA now, correct?
It's Club America.
Club America,
yeah.
Sorry.
It's powered by Turning Point USA.
Okay. Right. And I'm going to let everybody know that we're brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Just Meat by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Springberg Wealth Management. Blonzy's Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. And our newest sponsor, A&B Propane. Check out abpropaneaz.com. And I believe Capriana McMurray's on the phone as well.
Is she?
If we're lucky.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, hey, how are you?
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Speak Out. You're with Turning Point USA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll tell you a little about myself. So,
thank you.
I have been volunteering with Turning Point for over a year now. I just started working with Turning Point here in Arizona about 3 months ago. Right now I am the Club America field rep for Arizona and New Mexico. So I am in charge of all of Northern Arizona and all of Northern New Mexico. After Charlie's passing,
yes.
We had an influx of about 60,000 students looking to start Club America chapters all around the U.S. Well, after Sunday, after his memorial, and definitely after Erica's speech, we're now looking at 120,000 students wanting to start Club America chapters all around the U.S. So we have been going through a lot of emotions over the last 2 weeks. From what I'm seeing is, you know, I'm truly so touched and moved to see the hundreds of thousands of young patriots rising up and wanting to honor Charlie's legacy by starting a chapter in every state.
Brian, tell me about Club America. What can the students expect that join the Club America at Lake Havasu High School?
Yeah, this is really new for Lake Havasu. We tried to get this started last year, but it was very slow going, and we've been slowly getting more and more kids involved,
mm-hmm.
And it's growing every day. I mean, it's literally we're getting more kids that are coming. And so they can expect civic engagement, learning and identifying more with the importance of freedom, the free market, limited government,
constitutional principles.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
You teach history.
Yeah.
At
traditional
the high school, right?
Constitutional principles. It's a nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to focus on nonpartisan debate, dialogue, discussion, much like Charlie Kirk demonstrated for
right,
us. You
right.
know, all you have to do is look at one of those videos, and that's to have that polite engagement and using reason, using thought, and that's what they can expect. It is. I don't want people thinking this is, you know, a partisan thing.
Right.
This is definitely nonpartisan, nonprofit organization.
Capriana, I want to ask you.
Yeah, I can jump in there.
Do you expect the next shining star, the next Charlie Kirk, if you will, to come from a movement, a club like this, Club America, in one of the high schools?
From what I've seen, you know, where Charlie was such a bright young mind, there's never going to be another Charlie Kirk.
Okay.
But from what I'm seeing is there's so many young patriots that are rising up to honor his legacy that we are all Charlie Kirk now. It's all our responsibility to hold this momentum of making Turning Point the biggest and boldest that it's ever been. Like Brian was saying, you know, we operate as a 501(c), so we're nonpartisan, but we mainly focus on leadership, public speaking, civic engagement, giving back to the community. A lot of our students that are part of Club America, they get really incredible opportunities, that doors open for specific colleges or internships in Washington, D.C. We do a lot of activism themes for American exceptionalism. So we are definitely here to prepare the next generation of leaders.
It's really ironic when you think about it that our biggest loss in the movement has resulted in the biggest gain for the movement at the same time.
Mm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and, you know, like I said before, it's, we have been devastated over here at Turning Point. The loss of someone so special in Turning Point, but not even just in Arizona, not just in the States. We're seeing people outcrying with support in South Korea, London, I mean, every single country. It's just beautiful to see the outpouring support from so many people. It's beautiful to see how many lives Charlie has touched.
Brian, you teach government or U.S. history?
Yes, I teach U.S. history.
Now, are kids really receptive to that now, especially in this political climate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And kids, I mean young adults, students.
Right, yeah. Yes. I think definitely, you know, when this happened on September 10th, you know, the kids knew. They all knew who Charlie Kirk was.
Really?
Yeah, they absolutely knew. And I think that had a huge impact. And not only, you know, in history, a lot of kids, I've had kids come up to me and say that they've given their lives to God. To go into church. I mean, mm-hmm. So it's even beyond just politics.
Right.
But one of the things I like to say is one of our big goals for Club America is I want to, because we're going to be focused on dialogue and the skills in communicating our traditions and our principles. But then at the end of the year, we're going to take the kids to Washington, D.C.
Oh.
And we're going to tour the Capitol. We're going to meet our senators, mm-hmm. our congressmen, Paul Gosar. We're going to do a mock Congress with students from all over the country in open debate. They'll be put in right. committees. They'll be given very complicated issues that they're going to have to debate. And so that's one of the goals, is actually not just learning this and doing it, but actually putting it to practice.
No, I love this, Capriano, because I was raised in a political family. I had a political upbringing mm-hmm. as a child. I knew what congressmen were. I knew they were every 2 years. Senators were every 6 years. Gerrymandering doesn't affect senators, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. There are a lot of ignorant people out there, though, and this is such a good movement for that. Is it Club America, are there dues for this, then, for the students?
Are you asking me or Capriano?
No, Capriano.
Okay.
Yeah, so the most amazing part about being part of Club America is we offer a lot of grants. So a lot of the mm-hmm. schools, depending on how many students are actually involved in the club, will give you up to $1,000 in grants. So they do biweekly meetings. Pretty much they're all talking about certain amendments, so free speech, Second Amendment. Let's say the club wants to talk about the Second Amendment. We can have, like, a police officer come into the school and talk about gun safety or just overall safety. Or if they want to do something as a club, we'll pay for them to go paintballing so they can celebrate their Second Amendment. So the most best part about Club America is we offer these schools grants so they can be able to do the things that they want to do.
What about scholarship opportunities?
There's definitely scholarship opportunities. There was actually one of my coworkers. She had two of her former members of Club America that just graduated. They now work at the Hill in D.C. So we're able to write letters of recommendation. And also it looks really good to be a chapter president, vice president, secretary mm-hmm. of Club America powered by Turning Point USA.
Right, right. Who's the president right now of the Club America chapter at Lake Havasu High School?
Oh, he's a great kid. His name's Grant Nelson. He's okay. one of my students as well. He's an honor student. And he is, he's already been to Washington, D.C. with me twice.
Really?
So he's a perfect guy for this. And he's really committed to the club. And, so he's a great kid.
Right. Does the Turning Point USA, do you, as an organization, Capriano, do they endorse mm-hmm. candidates as well?
No. So that's actually the one thing that lot of parents, they're trying to do like a little bit of pushback. I know, you know, there's a political climate that's going on, of course. But the one thing that I would like to say is Club America, since it's in high school, we do operate as a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nonpartisan. We don't tell you who to vote for. We don't go door knocking. We're not in support. Well, we can't openly say that we support Trump. So you're not going to see us chasing ballots. But that's the beauty of Turning Point. So Turning Point USA is a 501c3, but Turning Point Action, they are a 501c4. So they are the ones that are going to be helping people to the polls, knocking on doors, and also helping local and national politicians get elected.
Okay. What time are meetings, Brian?
Oh, they're right after school. It's every other Wednesday.
Okay.
We say the first and third Wednesday of the month. And so our next meeting is October 1st. It's after school in my classroom, so we'll start at 2:45. So anybody who's listening, if you know a kid that's in high school and is looking to join a club and get involved, if they've been inspired by what has happened in current events, my classroom's J205, and this next Wednesday, October 1st, you're welcome.
What kind of feedback are you getting from parents, or are you?
I am getting feedback from parents, and actually I had a grandmother called me the other day.
True.
And really wants to help in any way that she can to help raise money for the club. And, you know, just people are reaching out, and that's just such a great thing.
I bet. Are you getting any feedback from parents or otherwise Capriana at Turning Point USA?
Yeah, for the most part, I deal with tons of parents every single day. Mostly my job is I talk to students all day long. I'm in charge of making sure that their clubs are successful. You know, we also do food orders. So when the kids are having their meetings, I'll order them a pizza pie and have it delivered. But with all the parents that I've been talking to, they're giving us the most outpouring, loving support. I actually had a lot of my chapter presidents call me over the last 2 weeks after they found out what happened to Charlie, and they sent their condolences, and they are determined to make their school's chapter the biggest and best that it's ever been.
So just walking into the studio is David Rose. He's the president of our school board, Lake Havasu Unified School District Governing Board. And this is your son actually started the chapter at Lake Havasu High School, right?
He did, absolutely. You know, our son was fortunate to Charlie was a mentor to him, and he's very passionate about TPUSA. And, of course, we're very involved with TPUSA Faith, and very excited to see what's happening around the nation. You know, it's disheartening that it took Charlie to be martyred for this, but mm-hmm. it has risen up a movement around the nation, and we're excited. You know, while I was at headquarters last week and stopped in and seen the TPUSA team, and Allegra, who I'm dear friends with, you know, their team was just in there working diligently, just pushing forward for vision, and just excited about all these people who are signed up for these clubs, so it's super exciting.
What kind of membership are you looking at right now, and what's that going to be, say, by April?
You know what? I don't know what by April. We have probably around 12 kids, and I think Capriana has even a longer list. We had a club rush.
Yeah.
Where we had a bunch club rush, yeah,
nice.
That signed up. But as far as that, who's been coming in, I have about 12
okay.
students. For a trip to Washington, you don't have to, that's optional, so you can be part of the club and not go to Washington, but the deadline for that is going to be November 20th.
Okay.
So that's after that, then that will be cut off for that trip, but kids will still be allowed to join the Club America.
Right. What about the state education tax credit? Do you qualify for that?
Yes.
Nice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For extracurricular. So the folks out there, if you want to direct your tax credit to Club USA, just put that on the form. I'm not an accountant. You might want to get with the school district on that. But
yeah, and actually,
it's a good way to raise funds.
If they put Club America close up, because that's the civic organization in Washington that is putting
close up.
This on.
I have heard
so,
of that.
So Club America close up is where they would want to do their tax credit.
All right,
and that would be a great help.
Perfect. Capriana, do you have anything you'd like to add as far as Club America goes? And is this a new name then?
So it was actually, I believe it was like Turning Point High School, TPUSA, but we just recently switched it over to Club America. I think it's more high school friendly, more inviting to, you know, we just want people to be able to talk about American exceptionalism, and we feel like Club America is definitely the right term for that. But overall, yeah, if any of you are interested, you could just look me up on social media. My Instagram is Capriana. Shoot me a DM, and I'll be more than happy to get Club America started in your school.
DM is direct message, by the way, folks, in case you don't know.
Yeah.
Is there a testing requirement or any kind of knowledge requirement to get in the club, Brian?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You know, I would say the only requirement is you do have to believe in American principles and the Constitution and things like that. So, you know, we're not going to be debating, you know, whether, you know, socialism or communism is the way to go.
Yeah,
I think that's history's already proven that out to be settled that debate.
We're not looking for any AOCs to join the club, then, is what you're saying.
She's welcome to. She's welcome. You know, we want different ideas and stuff, but you know, ultimately those views aren't going to.
Right.
You know, we're not going to rewrite the Constitution.
You like that, huh, Capriana?
Yeah, that was great.
That's a great name. I'd never heard that name before. I've heard of Jennifer Capriati, but never the name Capriana. So,
You know what? My mom actually, she made it up. She went to Italy. There was a place called Anna Capri. She said it was the most beautiful place she's ever been. She flipped it around, named it Capriana.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'm blessed.
Great story.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We sure appreciate it in talking about Club America at the high school. We have to go to our next guest, who's the football coach. You're welcome to stick around if you want, Brian.
Nope, I got students waiting for me. Got to hit it.
They're waiting for Mr. Z.
That's right, absolutely.
All right.
I'll talk to you later, Capriana.
Thanks so much.
And thank you for joining us. You bet. And, again, it's Club America, Lake Havasu High School. Ask for Brian Z. Zematel. I could spell it for you, but you might forget by the time you go to put it on paper, right? All right, everybody knows Brian Z. All right, stay with us. We've got Carl Thompson's going to join us to talk about tomorrow night's game at COFA, and we'll have it live on KNTR Sports on 980 AM and streaming at KNTRSports.com. And we still have the Arizona State TCU tickets if you want to call the office, 928-855-9336. And Marissa June will hook you up with those tickets. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back with Carl Thompson. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Yes, it is Education Week, and yes, we do have head football coach Carl Thompson on the line. We're going to talk to him in just a moment after we let you know Speak Out is brought to you in part by The Chair, also Mojave College, Sam'sGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, the Lewis Team Remax by the Lake, and by Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles. And, Coach, we're playing Rock and Roll High School right now by the Ramones, and for a truly ridiculous movie, if you want to turn off your mind, just rent or buy whatever online, Rock and Roll High School. So there you
Rock and Roll, okay, I'll have to check that out.
Man, 9 touchdowns last week. You got pretty much everybody in. I would say 5 quarterbacks, I believe I counted. Did you learn anything from last week's game against Alhambra?
Well, you know, we went in, we knew that we were trying to, you know, make sure that we were able to do what we wanted to do. We're working on being efficient. Again, we were able to bring some of our JV guys this week, and we're just trying to put some of those building blocks in place so that we are, you know, that we can keep moving forward with different personnel to give us a little more depth, because football is a rough sport. I mean, you start losing guys for various reasons, you get some back, and sometimes it's just, you know, that war of attrition a little bit, but having more guys that are able to give you, plays gives you more depth. So we were very happy with that. You saw a lot of different groups. We even put a senior group out there together. We put a younger group out there together. So we did some different personnel packages, but we are very happy with being efficient.
Tomorrow night's game against COFA, COFA Kings, it's your first conference game. I mean, they're usually pretty tough. When it comes to Yuma teams, I think of Yuma Catholic and COFA, some of the tougher teams anyway. Would you agree?
You know, they've been up and down a little bit, but I mean, they're coming off a 2-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've won 2 in a row. They've built a little momentum. I think we are their homecoming game. So, you know, some things that they're trying to do and build some momentum.
Uh-huh.
It's just going to be our job to get in there and again, be proficient in every aspect of the game, you know, create turnovers on defense, you know, move the ball effectively both through the air and on the ground and, you know, win the special teams matchups.
Well, here's to spoiling a homecoming, right?
That's the plan.
That's the plan. All right. Your quarterback is still going to be Tripp Burke?
It is. Tripp's getting the reps there. I mean, Halo's now available again this week.
Good.
We had Jay Deacon working there. We also had Seth Bernier, and we had Nico Bailey. So all those guys have been quarterbacks in our program. But, you know, Tripp is going to be the front runner.
So Jim Chaney, our play-by-play man, he texted me just now, who do you think is going to be COFA's biggest threat as far as players go?
You know, they've spread the ball around to a couple guys. They're going to be a spread-type offense. They do have a couple of running backs that run very hard. They have two big offensive tackles. And again, they're going to try to air it out probably a little bit more than Alejandro tried. So again, they have several receivers they can get it to. But you know, again, we've been working on coverage. Our D line has been playing tremendously over the last couple weeks, and we expect that same effort from them again this week.
Your D line has a nickname now. Jim calls it the Purple Haboob. You guys are swallowing up runners right and left. Yeah, really good defense. Where does that come from? The players themselves, or the coaching, or a little bit of both?
Well, it's a combination of a lot of things. A lot of those guys on the defensive side, I mean, nine of them, this is their second or third year starting for us on the defensive side. So, you know, just having that experience in the system, doing that. I mean, I joke with our coaching staff, we're the OG coaching staff is the defensive side. Ted Darnell is my defensive line coach. He played at UNLV. He's been with me several years. Wade Novi is my DB coach. Sean Stevenson's my inside linebacker coach, and I do the outside linebackers, and then I kind of coordinate all the mastery of those guys. But again, you know, just having that knowledge of being in the system. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, having those guys getting that experience under their belt, they're able to, you know, check keys and reads. I mean, most of the game, they have some auto checks based on formation, and they just have done a good job communicating and then finishing the play. So a little bit of everything, but ultimately the players have to execute it, and they've been doing a tremendous job.
Yeah, I see a tremendous job on turnovers, especially in the air. You guys are really getting it done on pass coverages.
We are. You know, the defensive line, like you talked about, they're putting a tremendous amount of pressure on the quarterback and making him make decisions quickly. And, you know, sometimes they don't count for guys in coverage or when we're changing up coverages or bringing different blitzers and pressures. So we've done a good job as a collective group with that, and that's what our goal is, to always create turnovers. I mean, they want to create havoc and negative plays, and we've done a good job over the last couple weeks with that.
You know, what's really interesting about last week's game, too, is you had nine touchdowns, but nine extra points by foot. You kicked the point after. Having Ibarra, that's a nice weapon to have in high school, isn't it, a kicker?
It is. Spencer's done a tremendous job taking over the kicking duties. I mean, he was the guy last year, and he did a tremendous job there. I mean, he's been in there. He's just such a great competitor, and anything we ask, he's also the guy then that's returning punts. So the same guy that's kicking off and kicking the extra point is returning punts, and he's actually in that defensive back group. So it's really good.
I did see that. Coach, I have to ask you, as far as Spencer Ibarra goes, what's the longest – where's his field goal range? Where do you need to get inside?
You know, it's funny you say that. We actually worked on that a little bit last night. He's around that 35 to 40-yard range.
Really?
That's what we were working last night. He did a good job with that. So, you know, we kind of have that available. I'm sure we can steal an extra 5 yards in a game-like situation with a little bit of adrenaline pumping.
What is he, 5'6", maybe?
I think he's like 5'7", 5'8". Are you cutting him a little short there?
I don't know.
Spencer's a great athlete for us. I mean, he's played soccer for the school.
Uh-huh.
He's a baseball player, too. You know, he's just a really good all-around athlete and even better person.
Yeah, he definitely is a good kicker, soccer style, and has a pretty good range. When you're saying 35 to 40 yards, this game could be pretty close tomorrow night. What are you looking for as far as strengths from COFA go?
You know, like I said, they're on that two-game win streak. They do spread the ball around. You're going to see lots of different motions by their offense trying to confuse the defense. But, again, we've worked really hard on that this week and done a good job exchanging that. Defensively, we expect some type of variation of a 4-2, 4-3, with a cover 3 match man behind it. They have a couple things that they're going to run, and again, we have a couple things that we've been preparing for.
Tell the listeners what a 4-2-4-3 means, what you were saying. Translate that to English.
So you're talking number of defensive linemen. So four defensive linemen. When we say a 4-2, we're talking about two inside linebackers.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times it's a Mike Will, when you hear the old 4-3 defense, that's when you're usually having the Sam, Mike, and Will. So they'll show a little bit of that. They'll have two safeties over the top with two corners. Sometimes when they're a 4-2 team, just like we are, sometimes you'll see what we call the alley defenders or outside linebackers that are between the cornerback and the inside linebacker.
Yeah, I'm impressed with this year's team. You have a lot of speed. They get around the edge that your runners do. Quarterback has good wheels as well. I wish you a lot of luck tomorrow night against COFA as we go on the road with the team.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for covering us and letting all the listeners know what's going on with Knights football.
Oh, you bet. And, again, tomorrow night's game starts at 7 o'clock. That's the kickoff, and we'll be there. KNTR Sports will be there. Jim Chaney and myself will have the pregame at around 6:40. So join us on the AM, 980 AM, and at KNTRSports.com. All right, Coach, we'll talk to you later. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take this one straight up to the top of the hour and let you know that next week we'll be back, of course, on Speak Out. And I believe Wednesday is going to be the Havasu Pioneers radio show. I'm going to confirm that here in a second, and we'll see. Yes, the Havasu Pioneers radio show. We'll have Dan Del Santos in the studio on Wednesday. So that'll be cool. And we've got Run to the Sun we're going to be talking about on Tuesday. We'll have those guys in. All right, I'll see you on Tuesday. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. We'll see you.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.